Hello, I'm Bonnie.
And I'm Clyde, and we're the Sticky Bum Boys. Welcome back to the podcast.
Or welcome for the first time, I guess. Although if you're only just joining us, where the fuck have you been?
We've only been doing this for 85 weeks.
Actually, this week's quite a special one, because this weekend, 5 years ago, David, we met for the first time.
Oh, we did indeed. And then we promptly ignored each other for at least 3 more weeks.
Details, schmetails. Anyway, this week we've reached the final of Series 5 of The Great British Bake Off. So, who's going to snatch 2014's crown?
Stay tuned and don't Google it.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, the final, the episode.
The episode.
The episode.
You said earlier that pointing helps you speak. Do you want to try pointing around again?
It was due to that introduction. I started doing some pointing, quite camp pointing, and it works really well. So, this is the final, the episode that neither of us particularly like traditionally.
No. Mine's more bitterness, really, than anything else.
But we said, like, there's always kind of excitement leading up into the quarterfinals, semifinals, and obviously the week 6 elimination is the height of the series.
Do you mean week 7?
Oh, week 7. Week 7 elimination. The week 7
Pretty
club.
Insulting. It was Simon Pierre went, but sure.
But then the final is sometimes, because it's such a nice, gentle show, it's sometimes a little bit of a letdown. But Let's get into it anyway. We have 3 fantastic bakers in the final, and their signature was to make viennoiserie, 2 different types, in 3.5 hours.
Quite tight for a yeasted puff.
Thank you.
What?
A yeasted puff. I did notice there's been like this thing where now we're starting to see that they're doing very tight times for anything that's kind of laminated, which, why are they doing that so much?
I mean, viennoiserie takes like 2 days. Like, yeah. It takes an overnight prove. And didn't they last season do an overnight prove for it?
I think so, yeah. Because they did. They were allowed to put things in the fridge overnight, weren't they? Because especially for a brioche.
It's kind of wild that they're doing a 3.5 hour challenge now without that.
Because it just means that even if you do it well, it's still going to be a bad version of a croissant, anything.
A croissant.
A croissant.
Or a croissant.
Or a pain. Have you seen the
vine that's like, stop! I nearly dropped my croissant!
No.
No, it's really funny. It's almost as good as how I did it just then.
So, what would you have done, Michael?
Ooh, what would you do?
I think I would have done kites. Like, you know, the kind of squares that you fold one over. And I'd have done, like, apple, sultana, orange, cinnamony vibes.
Ooh.
And then I'd probably have done, like, a pan au chocolat with, like, a pistachio ganache and a dark chocolate.
Oh,
stick.
Like the pistachio cream that everyone's doing now.
Yeah, yeah. No, like more like a pistachio chocolate. It's like a pan au chocolat, but like with one line of dark chocolate and one line of essentially pistachio chocolate.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. What would you do?
I would have definitely gone Danish, I think. And I would have done one of the kind of flaky pastry, like you're saying, like a kite, but maybe one of the different shapes, but with custard.
Mm.
I love those ones that have the custard that kind of sets in the middle.
Mm.
And then I think I would have done a really soft bun. So kind of like a, what, you know what the ones that always...
Because Richard did that. They didn't like that.
No, but he just did a milk bun. I would do one of the ones again, probably would have custard again, but maybe a cardamom custard, then one of those peach halves. I really like the ones that have a peach half.
Cardamom and peach.
Or having like a rhubarb in it or something.
Rhubarb. It's quite hard in this challenge as well because they're going to have to laminate at cold temperatures and then bring it to room temperature so it can prove without melting the butter you've laminated in 3 hours in a tent in Berkshire. Now, that's quite challenging, I think.
Yeah. Who did do well, did you think?
Well, I actually quite like the idea of Louise. Again, uneven bakes. And I was a bit concerned when he was doing pan au chocolat blanc, so white chocolate, with fresh raspberries. And as soon as he was putting fresh raspberries in, I was like, sog.
Yeah.
Instant sog. And then the second one he was doing apple, walnut, and raisin with Cheshire cheese chausson, which looked quite nice as well. So the first impression I was getting of all of the bakes, I thought those are the ones I want to eat. By the end, I didn't really want to eat them.
The chausson did look good. They just didn't look enough food. Because the chausson's like a pasty, basically. Yeah. But using like more like a croissant dough, which I love the idea of, actually. But there wasn't enough filling.
No, but neither of them looked great by the end. But the ideas of the flavours. And with the cheese in that apple one, I thought it sounded quite nice. How about you?
I really did like the idea of Nancy's. Yeah. She was doing an almond and raspberry croissant. But she, instead of using the fresh raspberries, she was using free-dried raspberry powder, which means you're not going to get the sog. And then she was doing a lemon kite, which is what Mike was saying he would do. So it's like the pastry of a Danish pastry or a croissant. And then you kind of make a square and you do a cut so that one bit's folded over to the other bit. And then it gives it like a ridge so there's a filling in the middle.
It's lovely. I think hers were the most traditional, really. And they came out quite well. The croissants were well-baked. They're a bit overproofed and doughy in the middle, but like that's fine. Sure, whatever. Basically, hers, I think, were, out of all of them, the best outcome, really.
Yeah, they said hers had really good flavours. And that's one thing you've noticed with Nancy throughout the whole of this series is whenever she does something that maybe not quite right, they're still just like, we can't really fault this too much because the flavours are so good or the texture's so good or whatever. Richard, he did pain au lait, which are just really, really simple milk buns.
Yeah. So
they are very, very simple.
A bit like an iced finger bun without the icing.
Yes. And then he did a pain au chocolat with pear, which I really like.
Yeah, really nice idea.
The problem with him is when he did his proving, he improved in the proving draw with warmth, which one thing melts the butter, but also his are then overproofed and they become a bit monstrous.
Yeah. And Paul, even before he'd even started doing it, Paul was building a story that they were too simple.
Yeah.
And he was already kind of sowing those seeds, which he then grew on later. And he also creamed, so I wasn't sure, so when, because his butter basically by the end, his butter had disintegrated into the pastry and made it quite bready, but he was creaming his butter to spread it out. So basically normally you knock your butter into a kind of rough rectangle, but he creamed his and spread it onto the pastry, which meant that it was already really thin. So as soon as you start laminating that, it's just going to disappear.
But he was spreading that on each layer. So he would spread one layer on, fold it over, put it in the fridge, bring it back out, spread another layer, put it. So it's like he's doing. Like people have worked out how to laminate dough, and they've come up with this like right way of doing it.
Yeah, it was a bit strange.
Yeah, but I have to say, the idea of a bread that is kind of like half laminated, because his was then really, really risen and really doughy. I quite liked the idea of it.
Yeah, I can imagine it'd be nice. Paul was cross because they'd spread in the oven and then kind of stuck to each other, wasn't he?
That was for the milk buns. So the milk buns, because the milk buns have to be perfect and they're not a batch bake. So like you said, an ice bun, they're all meant to be together, so they peel off.
Yeah.
And the milk buns aren't. And because they were so simple and then they had that edge, Paul was not happy.
They still looked nice. I'd have eaten them.
All of them looked good. So are we saying that Nancy had the edge then?
Oh yeah, after the 100%.
Signature? So on to the technical. The technical, they had a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So they had 2 hours to do this, and they had to do 12 mini Victoria sandwiches, 12 mini tarte au citron, and 12 scones.
Yeah, very, very tight. As soon as I saw it, I thought, not a chance in hell. But I thought about it. I think it is, well, obviously it's possible. Because if you break it down, a scone takes you 20 minutes like of working time, probably about 30 minutes resting. Really, your focus is your tarts.
That's mine. I wrote chaos and cruel because I did just think it was a bit horrible to do. But exactly what you say, they should all be able to do all of the elements of this with their eyes closed. Not one of these things is not a basic thing, like a scone, a Victoria sandwich, sponge. Because Rich was like, oh, there's no directions for any of them. Yeah, but they were all easy. The tough thing was the tarte au citron.
What order would you do things in?
You'd make the pastry first.
Yeah.
And then you'd want to let that chill. And then I'd make my Victoria sandwich cakes.
Yeah.
And then I would make the filling for my tarte au citron. I would basically do my scones last.
Because I think I would do pastry, sponges, blind bake, custard, scones.
Yeah, because they're miles of scones because you want your tarte au citron to cool.
Then assemble. Yeah.
Whereas some of them seem to be doing their tarte au citron right till the end.
Yeah.
You're really wanting to feature your tarte au citron early because you want them to cool and you want the cakes to cool. The scones can come out warm and just be warm. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and the scones don't take that long. Quite hard, but I thought a good challenge. I felt really bad for Richard. When there's no instructions, we've spoken about it before, you sort of use the ingredients as the instructions, and he fell into the same thing that I fell into in our year, where when you're making I was making a choux pastry, it said use 2 eggs. The ingredient said 2 eggs. It didn't mean use all of the eggs, but you might have to use up to that amount. And he basically threw too much into the scone mixture and over-egged it and had to start again. And sneaky from the producers, but smart.
And smart, but with this with 2 hours, you basically had to do it so that nothing went wrong. Yeah. And he had something that went wrong. Like, if you had to repeat anything, you were absolutely losing at that point. You could have things that weren't perfect and you had to use them still, but like, he'd had to start that again, so it wasn't really great.
It was a tense challenge.
It was. I love the fact at the end it showed Nancy having time to type on she was piping citron on top of her tarts, and then Richard was just squeezing his piping bag as hard as he could. He was just squiggling everywhere.
And when he got to the judging, Mary said, I think when you're trying to impress, you should pipe. do you do that when you're trying to impress?
If I'm trying to impress, yeah. I'd probably do it anyway. Third was our Richard.
Yes, his jam was weeping into the bottom.
And his...
We've all been there.
And his custard had bubbled up and had gone a bit quiche.
It came down to the tarts, didn't it?
It did come down to the tarts. Louis came second, but also Louis' scones looked really bad.
Mm.
And then Nancy looked like she was serving the Queen.
Queen
it looked amazing.
Nancy.
So the showstopper was a Piemonte. Did I say that right? I can't
remember. Piemonte.
Piemonte. So a Piemonte was a old-fashioned French thing, was it? A massive table?
What is it? What's it full of?
Oh, I don't even know. I was meant to write... Oh, literally, if I show you, all I've written is Richard-windmill. Oh, it's this one. So, they had 5 hours to do it.
Yeah.
Piemonte was this massive centrepiece that had to have loads of different things. It had to have petit four, it had to have cake, it had to have pastry. Is it going to be tall? Has it got to have a croquembouche? Is that part of the
thing? I think they normally did, yes. It was like various... you were right, petit four cakes and croquembouche, basically.
So...
And sugar work.
And sugar work, that was the thing, yeah. Who did you like?
Well, it seemed like a very busy tent, and I remembered all three of them. But when I saw the end of them, I thought, oh, I remember seeing all of these.
I didn't. I forgot Richards.
Oh, I remembered Richards, because I remember watching it and thinking, oh, Nancy's moves. Because Nancy's windmill span. I thought Nancy's was the best out of all of them, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
She was doing a Moulin Rouge-inspired Piemonte, so she was doing a four-layer cake on the base with croquembouche on top filled with passion fruit cream, and then a windmill made from gingerbread and sugarwork sails with shortbread decorations. And it was just so neat.
Everything worked. She had one thing, one of her sails broke right at the end, one of the sails of the windmill.
She made another one.
And I think she's managed to stick that one back on.
Right.
And it still functioned. It was... Everything went right for her in this challenge, basically.
It just looked, and especially in the final, making something look so neat is really difficult. And it just looked really, I know I keep saying neat, but just neat, really precise.
But the thing about Nancy, can you remember when Rosie did the chicken biscuit sculpture Naya? And we were all like, oh my goodness, how has she done that? And then they came to taste and they were like, oh, it's actually a bit disappointing because of the textures and things. Nancy's, literally everything they broke off and tasted, they said, was amazing.
One thing I would say, though, when they cut into the cake and they were like, oh, it's gorgeous, the fondant was really thick.
Fondant around the cake.
Like there was fondant, like the red fondant around the cake. And the cake's layers, they were saying the layers were really even, but they never commented on the fondant. And I was like, that's a hefty like chunk of sugar.
They probably didn't even eat it, did they? They probably let that fall off.
No, they didn't destroy her windmill. Normally these days, they take great joy and you've made something elaborate and they'll smack it down the middle. Like when they cut the knife through David Attenborough's head, like they kind of go like, ah! Whereas they just broke a little bit off the back to taste it. I thought that was quite nice.
Yeah. Well, also, it's quite nice because people take these final ones out into the garden party. And it's quite nice for the family and friends to have actually seen what it was meant to look like.
Yeah, for sure.
Richard also did a windmill.
He did,
which
yes.
is quite tough when someone like Nancy has just done an amazing windmill.
And do you want to just say all the flavours and things that he did?
He did a windmill.
Yeah.
There was chocolate.
Nope.
Was the custard?
There was ganache. There was ganache.
Ganache.
That windmill was on a hill. So what was the hill made out of?
Oh, it had green piping, though.
It did have green piping.
It was a cake. Almond.
It was almond with raspberry jam.
Oh.
And then the windmill base was made out of...
Croquembouche.
Nope. Cake.
Cake.
A ginger...
Oh, the ginger cake.
Ginger
yes.
cake with lemon and lime curd.
Yeah.
And then he did a croquembouche with orange custard and elderflower white chocolate ganache. And then the windmill had sails made out of sugar work, which were like almond brittle. But they didn't spin.
And his also was perfect.
It looked gorgeous.
And flavour-wise, again, they just said everything was brilliant.
And doing an almond brittle for your sugar work is very smart because it means you don't have to do all the fiddly stuff. It's just like pouring it all onto a sheet and shaping it.
And like he was saying, when you've got those flaked almonds, they provide a lot of structure to it. So it kind of meant that his sails were more likely to work.
And also his sails were supported entirely by the croquembouche, which is quite an unstable structure. Like Nancy had a gingerbread to kind of hold it in, whereas his was basically being stuck into a pile of shoe buns.
But he is a builder.
He is Bob the Builder.
And then Louis did something a bit weird. His looked amazing. I didn't really get his concept. It was an ode to his village or something.
A mining village. So he was like, there was like a miner's wheel at the in his village, and he was making the chain for the miner's wheel out of... I thought it was smart.
I mean, it looked brilliant.
He was doing a chocolate cake, vanilla cake, orange and almond, chocolate and hazelnut. And he was also making macarons, chouquettes, which are like mini shoe buns, and a chocolate biscuit mining wheel. I thought it looked great. I think it wasn't quite as impressive, bizarrely, as Nancy's.
Yeah, I mean, it still was very, very good.
I mean,
good.
I could never.
And they said it was very good textures and flavours as well. I really like Louis's oven gloves this time. He has, like, proper gloves.
Yeah, they're like gardening gloves.
Yeah, I have some of those. I actually wrote for all of them, just aced it.
Yeah.
This was one of those challenges where if this was just what they were being judged on, it would have actually been very hard to judge. Like, it really was down to the signature and the technical, because the showstoppers were all brilliant. You don't often see that in a final.
Because they gave them a reasonable challenge. The challenge was possible, and therefore it was really good.
5 hours. Did you enjoy seeing all the people outside at the garden party?
I did really like seeing that. I also liked seeing lovely Sarah, Richard's wife, in his little VT, doing a little happy cry.
Yes, because we know Sarah.
That was really nice. We know Sarah. I loved it. I thought it was really nice. Nice seeing them all back, looking a bit more relaxed. Nice to see Diane back.
Dirty Diana. Oh, yes, she was back. Yeah.
Yes, and Ian, looking a bit calmer this time.
And Norman.
Brought his bin with him.
So, the winner was Nancy Burstwistle.
Yeah, which I think must have been a surprise at the time.
Yeah.
Because I think people might have thought it was going to be one of the other two. I don't think people thought Nancy was going to win.
No, because I think everyone knew Nancy was brilliant, but Richard with 5 star bakers seemed like a runaway. And then Louis, everyone knew that Louis always performed when he needed to. And Nancy just smashed them.
I think she deserved it based on this week. I think definitely she came out on top. And they do judge it on the week. They don't judge it on the series.
Yeah, and then on the series, she didn't really put her foot wrong in the series.
That's true. We love you, Nancy. A worthy winner and the queen of bicarbonate of soda, our lovely Nancy Burstwistle.
That was such a good season. Brilliant bakers, great challenges, and of course, lovely Melon Sue.
Now, we're cracking on with season 6 from next week, and as is standard, we'll be doing a We Meet the Bakers bonus ep on our OnlyFans, so do pop over there to hear that.
On to this week's taste test. This one comes from Corinne, who likes to spread Bovril and jam on a slice of ham and then roll it into a cigar for a little snack.
Interesting. You've got about a minute to work out whether Corinne should continue to roll away or whether she should be rolling to jail.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
fancy another ad?
Go on then.
We're such givers.
Speak for yourself.
We're here to talk about our OnlyFans.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, it's a site where you can get loads of bonus content, including ad-free episodes, interviews with exclusive guests, recipes, ramblings, recommendations, the whole shebang.
What's a shebang?
Absolutely no idea.
Precisely the kind of journalism you can expect from us.
To join the OnlyFans community, all you need to do is hop on over to patreon.com/stickybunboys, and for the price of a supermarket meal deal a month, it could all be yours.
Nicely done.
Thank you. I can't help but feel like I did most of the heavy lifting there.
Yeah, but you're so strong.
You're too kind and lazy.
Bovril's like Marmite, right? Like a meaty Marmite.
Yes, yeah, I think it's a beef extract, but it looks exactly like Marmite.
I think no.
No.
I could do like Marmite on ham, because I sometimes do like a I'll spread mustard onto some ham and roll it into a cigar and eat it.
Oh, that does sound nice. Mm. Bovril, my dad, for a drink, just has a spoon of Bovril in hot water. Oh. So if I just see the word Bovril, it makes me feel a bit sick.
I'm not against that, though. I sometimes like to eat gravy granules, like, with a spoon.
Oh, my goodness, Michael.
My latest post-rave snack is I'll come home and I'll eat an entire packet of ham and then go to bed. But
that's okay, though. Gravy granules with a spoon. I'm sorry, you're not getting past that. Yeah, you've got moisture in your mouth.
Yes, haven't you?
What does it make the gravy?
Sort of, yeah, but it's more just like the crunch of the salt.
Oh, no, thank
you. What's wrong with that?
You're going to jail.
Why are you both shaking your heads at me?
No, that is...
No.
Right, we'll have a poll. We will do a poll.
No, this is homophobia. I'm not having it.
We're going to do a poll
in my house. You come to my house.
We are going to do a poll on Instagram.
Are we? I'm in control of the Instagram.
Oh, we'll do a poll on OnlyFans. Actually, we actually are going to.
Right, so we have a disaster of the week, but this one comes from a listener. Ooh.
Ooh, exciting.
Disaster of the week.
There's actually an intro, which I'll read after the dating disaster, because otherwise it becomes a bit of a weird bit.
Oh, so it's a disaster of the week and it's a dating story.
Honestly, this person is basically going to fill our segments, as it were. I, a guy, was dating a guy long enough that the time had come to meet his family, who lived a few hours away. To make things easier for us all, we had opted to meet at a restaurant in a town halfway between. As anxiety-ridden as I was to meet his parents, this story isn't about the cold conversations with his unapproving family, as they gave us disappointing glares over our greasy, cold, bougie goat cheese marmalade and prosciutto pizza. That sounds quite nice.
That sounds really nice.
I quite enjoy that, actually, yes.
Maybe not cold and greasy, though.
Oh, do you know what? I quite like a cold pizza.
Oh, greasy.
The morning after. Well, it's not like fresh grease. It's like congealed grease, which is actually quite nice. No, this is a story about what happened to me and my lactose intolerant, nerve-riddled and very sensitive tummy in the car ride back with my boyfriend. Oh. If you haven't guessed it yet, I shat myself. Right there in the car. We still had a good 45 minutes to drive, and there was no way I was going to sit in for that long. I insisted he pull over at the first place that we saw that sold any type of clothing, which ended up being an outdoor camping outfitter. Once we stopped, I handed him my credit card, wrapped my jacket around my waist, told him to find me some new unders and pants, and waddled my way to the bathroom. He gratefully obliged, providing me with enough flannel to make the butchest of lesbians squeal. Though I left my dignity and shit-stained pants behind in that bathroom that day, I also left knowing if that man was willing to go through all this with me, he was a keeper. We broke up shortly after that. He said it was because his parents disapproved of our relationship, but I'll always wonder. But also, both those reasons are shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I should be breaking up with him because of your parents.
Because your parents disapprove.
I mean, if someone shat in my car and I had to go and buy them some flannel, how would I feel? I mean, like, how long have they been dating? A guy long enough. How long is long enough to accept shit in the car?
For you, probably 4 dates.
You'd be lucky if you get past 2 married with me, to be honest. 4 is marriage.
The thing is, when he said, like, I was not going to sit in it, I wouldn't want someone to sit in it. My car's got, like, fabric seats. It'd be seeping through.
So how many dates would it take for you to allow someone to shit in your car?
I'd probably date one for me, actually.
Because it's probably you. Yeah. You'd be like, oh my God, same! We have so much in common!
Don't be too judgmental.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
If you were married, it wouldn't be an issue, obviously. If you got that car.
But then, like, a friend has pissed the bed that I've been sleeping in, and that's been okay.
Yeah, but piss doesn't smell. I think with poo, it's more the smell.
It
that, like,
is the poo. And the texture.
you don't have to touch it, Mike. You don't have to feel it. It's not like a baby. Like, have you? Let me check. Also, if it was lactose-ridden, it would have been, like, diarrhea-y probably and watery.
Oh, is that what happens?
Also, what was he wearing? Maybe he was wearing really nice jeans and things and he had to throw them away.
Well, we've got some further things from this person.
Oh, good. Because if he's got those, because I would have kept them in a bag.
There is then a taste test.
And they say, as a child, my mother would serve me cream cheese and grape jelly sandwiches on white sandwich bread. I'm assuming, is it grape jelly or grape, comma, jelly?
No, it's grape jelly, because grape jelly is like a jam.
Like a grape jam.
It's basically, they say it's grape jam. I think it's just this purple jam that tastes of nothing, that they just, it's not.
Is it a bit chutney-ish, or is it quite sweet?
No, it's really sweet.
I think it sounds all right. Don't say peng. Alex said it sounded peng, which I don't like.
No.
It's sounds... too old. I'm sorry.
I think it sounds okay.
Peng?
No, the sandwich. Oh. I wouldn't mind the sandwich. I don't think that's a particularly bad taste.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to jail for it.
No, you should maybe like...
What's this person's probation. Name? I want to talk to them.
They have asked us to keep them anonymous because of the shit story. Oh. There's also relationship advice from this person.
They're giving it. They didn't do well with the last one.
They're giving what?
The relationship advice.
No, they're asking for some.
Okay.
Well, do you think they're just like, Michael, I've got some thoughts.
That's what I was thinking.
They said, I am asexual and currently in a relationship with someone who is not. So asexual is somebody who doesn't have a sexual attraction to somebody else or anybody else. I told him I was ace on our very first date. He said he was fine with it. Now, after 5 years in a committed cohabiting relationship, he tells me he wants to be non-monogamous and have, quotes, friends with benefits. My head says I can't expect him to go without sex while in this relationship, but being ace, I have no interest in providing him those services, or even though I do love him. So I thanked him for sharing. Thank you for sharing. told him his body is his own. Good. And that he please asked that he please be safe and get tested often. My heart, however, says that I should be worried that he'll find someone else that can give him everything I can't, such as sex, and I'll be left. I've shared this concern with him, and he assures me that he won't leave me, but I still can't help thinking, what if? I'm hoping you can provide a different point of view on the situation. Any thoughts, advice, or words of worldly wisdom to share?
I, first of all, think they've done a very good thing.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'd say is, although you're, like, they are basically allowing their partner to do this, they can put some stipulations on it. It doesn't have to be this thing where it's just a free-for-all.
Uh-huh.
And so they could say, if they have these worries, because one of the things I would have thought of if I was in a non-monogamous relationship, I would probably want to put boundaries on seeing the same person again and again and again.
Uh-huh.
Because then that person's saying that, but also after 5 years, they went from being quite happily in a relationship with someone who was ace to then needing more. Like, things can change. Mm. So I don't think you want to risk it by...
I think we should change our perspective on saying more.
Yeah.
It's like needing something as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's not needing more.
Yeah.
It's just needing something else.
Yeah.
And I think if I was in a relationship with somebody who was ace, I would probably want to be non-monogamous because I would want to have sex with people. But I think you're right. It's about putting in place boundaries that go, I'm comfortable to hear.
Yeah.
And then I'm not comfortable. And also, as somebody who thinks about being non, if I was to be in a relationship, I think non-monogamy is probably where I would go. For me, intimacy isn't sex. And that's possibly the same with your partner. Like, he's getting intimacy from you, and he has romantic connections with you, and he has physical connections with other people, and that's a different thing.
Yeah. I had a friend that was in a non-monogamous relationship, and one of their things was that they could go and have sex with people who were also in relationships. Mm. Not that that's like the totally fail-safe barrier, but it's very different from them going and having relationship or relations with someone who is single and who could quite easily build that like link to them, basically that bond.
That's very good. Very good advice from David there. Anything to add, Alex? No? Okay, great.
Alex just said it's peng.
Make him bang through a sheet. That's from Alex there. We do have one more question, actually. Let's squeeze it in. Should we squeeze it in?
Or we can squeeze it in.
We'll squeeze it in. This is from Jill, who says, Hi, David and Michael, then in brackets, alphabetical. I was thinking about this earlier, actually, because I was annoyed. I was like, what about alphabetical surnames? But also, Atherton still comes first.
But if I change my name, it's going to be Sariski Atherton.
Are you still changing it? Thinking of changing it?
I didn't want to, but now I'm quite happy to. So yeah, we're going to change. I just can't be bothered to.
But
the
it's right faff, that.
Yeah, and Sariski Atherton's a long name, but at least you will then be first.
Is this because you hate your children, your future child?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Anyway, Jill says, I'm so excited that you're on to Series 5 because it's one of my favourites. I've convinced myself that Nancy is my long-lost Nana. I know you've just started reviewing this series. I mean, we've just finished. But I noticed something on the finale that I really have to ask about.
Yeah, we had to leave this one until the end.
Yes.
Because of this.
We didn't only just see it 10 weeks later. So during a technical, the bakers make a point to say that the instructions are sparse, with only saying make 12 of these, 12 of those, and 12 of the other thing, full stop. But then Richard says, when he over-egged one of the bakes, that the recipe says 2 eggs. What could he be referring to if they had simply said there was basically no recipe? Did he write down his own then get it wrong? Or are we being misled as to how many help the bakers are being given in the technical instructions? Please help clarify this. The integrity of the show depends on it.
They were not wrong. They didn't give it. It's all about the method.
Yeah.
So they'll always give the ingredients. They have to, because you've got the ingredients in front of you. So they'll have the list of ingredients. They just won't have been told at
all. It's the semantics. He's like, the recipe, as in the piece of paper, which is the recipe, says two eggs, but it's not the instructions that say two eggs. It's the ingredients.
Yes.
The recipe is the umbrella.
Integrity remains somewhat.
Not for our podcast. And that's your lot for the week. No more. Don't be greedy.
You know where you can get more, though. Our OnlyFlans.
Nice plug.
Thanks for noticing. Just pop over to patreon.com/stickybunboys to join in on all the fun. And remember to ping over your burning questions and stories to us at stickybunboys@gmail.com or on our socials at stickybunboys.
I like writing the scripts. It means I can get you to do all the begging.
Rude. Remember, next week we're kicking off our Series 6 coverage with the Queen of All Queens, Tamal.
And a little known figure called Nadia Hussein. We'll see you then.
In the meantime,
keep
them sticky.
That was good. I like that one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready for the boring bit? Let's go.
The Sticky Bun Boys are not endorsed by or affiliated with Love Productions, The Great British Bake Off, or any of its subsidiaries. All views and opinions are our own.
The Great British Bake Off and all related content are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Very professional, David.
In one breath.
We're all just having a bit of fun, aren't we?